for Bible study in the home. This particular subject was one assigned to me a number of weeks ago, and it is designed to cover and to encourage families to study the Bible as a family unit. This particular outline, as may be disappointing to several, is not dealing with home studies and the way that we use it in reference to going out conducting a home study as an act of trying to convert someone to the faith. We're primarily interested in this particular topic with what can we do to encourage families to study the Bible as a family unit. And that's where the question would need to really be directed to, and that is what we need to do in order to accomplish the task that the brethren have asked me to do today. I've enjoyed the research on this particular outline. I have a tremendous amount of information on home studies and on different techniques and different things to use to be effective in home studies as we generally use it. But as far as getting practical advice and practical information together to devote toward family study of the Bible as a unit, then it had to take a different twist. Sometimes much of the same material that can be used and what we generally use as home studies can be used as a family. The first division of this lesson, I want to give some thoughts to prick your hearts. I do not believe today that I have to stand for this audience and convince you that we need to study the Bible as a family. Everyone here would wholeheartedly agree we need to do that. So consequently, I'm not going to spend a tremendous amount of time trying to convince you of that when I believe you're already convinced. But I do want to give you some words of thought and admonition as far as perhaps setting your priorities in a different order than what you've set them in previously to this, and perhaps give you some thoughts for your consideration. The second division of our lesson, we're going to do exactly as the outline specifies, give practical advice for Bible study in the home. Now, this is simply, I'm just going to go down and give you different ways of accomplishing this task. Many people have talked about the situation, how we've started to do that, especially, you know, New Year time. We set forth ideas how we want to be better this year than what we've been before. We do want to study the Bible more with our kids and our spouses and our family. But it seems like by the time mid-January gets here or February starts in that we've got off track and we never get back on track again. As human as we all are, that probably depicts the life and the record of most in this assembly. At one time or another, we probably have all set forth our goals and then have fallen short. But today, the thoughts that I want to share with you, I hope and I pray, will help and perhaps give you a new determined spirit about you to reach out and accomplish a goal that is of utmost importance. We cannot expect today to have a strong church without having strong homes. It is an absolute must. Obviously, the Bible is the most wonderful book that's ever been written. It is full of wonderful Bible stories for children, for truths, and for interesting spiritual advice. It is indeed a book that is beyond all other books. All the way from the very first chapter of Genesis to the 22nd chapter of Revelation, it is indeed a most wonderful book. These truths have been told over and over again for thousands of years, yet they are fresh. They are fascinating to every new generation. We're involved today with a generation of people many times that do not even know the Bible. They do not really know what it teaches. They do not even know the leading characters of the Bible, the book that contains what is necessary for life and for godliness. I emphasize today these truths need to be retold every day, every week, and every month. So the boys and girls of our day, of this century, and of this time of this century, they can learn these truths and then, of course, pass them on down to the preceding generations as they come. It is one of the strangest paradoxes to me that the Bible is continuously to be the number one selling book of all books ever printed. I understand, but only one year, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, the book Gone with the Wind outsold the Bible by very few copies. I understand that one select year. But all the other years, the Bible has outsold every book, regardless of the popularity of that particular book. However, family worship in the home has not continued as strong as you might think, in view of the Bible being a tremendous book that sells more than any other. Even though the Bible outsells any other book, parents themselves seem to seldom find time to open up and read it to their children, or read it to one another and openly discuss the pages of divine inspiration. Even though the Bible is the number one selling book, a whole generation of people is growing up with little, and I fear to say, no Bible knowledge. When you study the Bible with people in the religious world today, it is not hard to find at all that many people know virtually nothing about the Bible. You know, most modern day today civilization that we live in, who are the heroes of today? Is it Daniel? Is it Elijah? Is it Moses? Is it Paul? Is it Peter? No. I had to check around with some of the younger kids of today to find out who they were. They considered to be their heroes. And it was people such as He-Man and Hulk Hogan and Star Commander and Incredible Hulk, whoever they might be. You know, today, it would be interesting for you to survey the young people that you are associated with, and I refer to the youngsters. Talk to them about key figures of the Bible, and just see just how much knowledge they have about special individuals, men and women both, of the Bible. And then talk about, you know, somebody like the Incredible Hulk, or Star Commander, or these other kind of creatures, or whoever. And talk about these, and see just where the interest really lies. But it's not going to be their fault. It's going to be the parents' fault. The ones who give them the spiritual guidance, the spiritual leadership, it's going to be their fault for allowing certain things to be viewed on television, certain books to be read, and certain things to be listened via radio. You know, in my opinion, there's no greater contribution could ever be given to the society today than to develop a generation of people who loved the Bible, who wanted to gain truth from the Bible, who loved it, who enjoyed the stories of the Bible, who really wanted to adopt the standards of divine scripture and make their life and their home according to it, and to find the true God of the Bible and to worship that God. No greater contribution could ever be offered to civilization today in the United States of America or any other place than to offer that, because this is what we need. We need to get on track and stay right with the program of teaching the Bible to our children in the home. I guess the overall purpose of this particular speech today could be a revival. It is a revival to get parents to commit themselves again that we will study the Bible with our children. A revival to get people to reestablish the Bible truths, to teach your family member, to teach your children, to teach those in the congregation the truth about worship and the truth about Bible doctrines and the truth about God and how to oppose the evils of other things that are taught in the Bible, evolution and many others as well will be named. Let it be understood today that in order for us to really get a good, clear picture, we must turn the tide. The most recent public polls that I've seen any reading of or hear of many statistics is that the average American person knows little, if any, about the Bible. And I believe that's really true. Few of the people ever questioned can even name a dozen Bible characters. Few of the people questioned could even name any books of the Bible, as far as naming a select number of books of the Bible. Oh, they make it hit one and hit two, but to name several books of the Bible, they found it beyond their vaguest of all imaginations. Again, in these popular polls, many people could not distinguish at all between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And many had even the vaguest concept of what the New Testament teaching was all about. This is the type of situation we have in our hands. And indeed, I can understand why the brethren found it very important to talk about and to perhaps reinstill into our veins the importance of home Bible study. Studying the Bible as a family unit. Getting us again redetermined to do this. Because if we don't do it, please pray tell me who will do it. Today, and you look back over the history of time. Oh, key spokesmen of many years gone by, many key figures of United States of American history. They have quoted Bible passages. They have leaned heavily on certain things. And, of course, the Bible changes lives. It redirects people's, you know, attempts and determinations as they lie ahead. It indeed enlarges the vision. It transforms the desires of humanity if people go by the Bible. So why do we call it a paradox? Well, obviously, it is a paradox. when indeed the Bible is the best, nobody doubts, the best book ever written. Even those who are atheists declare the Bible is indeed one of the best books ever written because it continues to sell. Indeed, people agree it's the greatest book that's ever been written. It has continued to challenge the minds and the hearts of people for hundreds of years. It is indeed, my dear friends, the most wonderful book, the most widely circulated book, yet one of the least read books of all times. Think about it. There's a lot of books out there that probably are never read, but the Bible has to rate among one of the least read books, and that disturbs me greatly. So let us do study the Bible with our children and our family at home. Now, if you don't have children at home, this does not relieve you or release you of any obligation to study the Bible, obviously. It indeed makes it that much more paramount that you do study, because hopefully someone will come to you and say, well, what can we do to study the Bible as a family? Study with the children at home is indeed important. As you read and begin to study the Bible, we can see the situation in the Bible, and I'm going to give you a list. Now, I've gone to a certain amount of research to locate certain lists, and I hope will aid you and will prick your heart and your minds as we study different situations. But you know what we're concerned about? Obviously, with having a nice home in which to live. We're concerned about our children, our family being clothed properly, having good food on the table, making good grades in school, and on and on and on. And all of this is understandable, and all of it has its importance. But when these things dominate our time, our mind and our energy to the point that we don't take time to study the Bible, then we need to redirect our energy and our time. We need to consider the fact of where we are. Oh, the story of Eunice, as we many times pronounce it today, according to the Talking Bible by Alexander Scorbius, Eunices, but Eunice and Lois, as you find in the Bible, you find how effective Bible home study can be. The mother, the grandmother of the young man Timothy, how these women taught him scripture, how these women taught him spiritual values. Would you turn with me to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 1, where here we locate and find out apparently that Timothy's father, being a Greek, was an unbeliever. Acts 16, verse 1, the word of God says, then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Again, would you continue to turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we locate a passage here whereby it mentions the mother and the grandmother of Timothy. This is probably one passage that you surveyed the outline of the preacher study for this particular year. Probably if you located on this particular subject, you thought about this verse. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, listen now, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, or Eunices, and I am persuaded that in thee also, the third generation of people who had the tremendous faith. And I'm sure it was great for Paul to say, I know, I am confident that it lies within you equally as well. Today, you and our assembly who are the third generation of the faith in your particular family, it is easy for people to look at you and say, I am sure that person is solid and grounded firmly in the faith because their mother and father were, or because their grandparents were, maybe on up the line. But just think about Paul as he devoted it to Paul's writing to Timothy. He let Timothy know, and I am persuaded in thee also. That was quite a compliment for Timothy, for Lois, and for Eunice. Would you turn with me now to the Old Testament and the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. This passage, again, if you looked at this survey of this study and you began to think, probably this series of verses here would obviously come to your mind. In Deuteronomy 6, beginning verse 6, the word of God said, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Please notice now, as a further reminder, these people wore frontlets containing God's word on their foreheads. And they wrote the commands of God on the doorposts and on the gates. If you continue in the same context, and Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, continue reading with me. The Bible says, verse 8 and verse 9 now. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. My dear friends, listen. Today, what happens in our homes? Instead of talking or discussing the Word of God in our homes, and of talking to our children when we're sitting down, what are we normally doing? We're normally there eating or watching television. Majority of the time, you'll find this to be the way. You'll find people, very seldom are they walking by the way. But as you are traveling along, going to relatives, going to church meetings, going to various places, take that opportunity to discuss Scripture with your children, to instill in them the mind of God and the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instill in them the importance of being a true godly man or godly woman. Don't let these times slip away from you. Just a few days ago, as a few of us were discussing different things, all of a sudden it hit us, and we've got kids. You know, my oldest boy is almost 8 years old, and my brother has kids who are 11, 12 years old. And I think, you know, I remember when I was that age, time really just rolls on. It is amazing how it seemed like just time just rolls on so fast. What are we doing with this time? Indeed, the Bible says redeem the time because the days are evil. We know the commands. Oh, I can give you a whole list, and you know them as well as I. We can say, train up a child in the way it should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Obviously, we can quote 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those are indeed true. But what happens? We know them. We don't apply them. Today, it should become second nature to us to teach our children. If indeed our determination is and our zeal is to serve God, to worship God, to obey God, that we want our children to do the same thing, just like the people of yesteryear in the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter, verse 8, whereby the children there was taught about the Passover, about all the events surrounding the Passover. They were taught the whys and the wherefores about keeping this Passover. Why it was so important? Today, do we teach our children the same thing in regards to the truth of New Testament Christianity? Yet, I know it can take a great amount of effort. I know today it's going to take a tremendous amount of determination on everybody's part to do what we know needs to be done. It's going to take fathers, because fathers, the weight of the responsibility is laying square on your shoulders and on mine in our home. It is a fact that we are the leaders of that home. We're the head of that household. And it's up to us to see to it that our family receives the true spiritual knowledge. It is responsibility, obviously, of the wife and the woman of the home to be that helpmeet to her husband, to make sure these children gain that important truth necessary for them to know right from wrong. So consequently, it's going to take parents to say no at times of working overtime. No, I'm not going to work overtime. I have got previous commitments, and that is they'll go home at times and study the Bible with their children. It's going to take parents the time to turn off the TV, to get rid of the TV, to do whatever it takes that's dominating your time, that's keeping you away. Because what happens is simply this. After a busy day of work, providing for your family all the necessities of life, what takes place? Everybody is drained and absolutely wore out at the end of the day. The dad is too tired to study. The mom is too wore out. The kids are too sleepy and ready to go to bed. And everything is gone. And all of a sudden, another good intent goes down the drain. What are we going to do about it? We know that's happened for previous months and years. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to let that be the rule rather than the exception? I know at times certain things would develop and certain things would come up and prevent you from doing that which you normally do. But don't let it be the rule. Obviously, let it be the exception. Make a determination today. I'll get less sleep if I have to in 1989. If I have to do it, I'll get less sleep, and my kids will get less sleep, and we're going to study the Bible. Later on in our lesson, I'm going to give you some examples. I will withhold the names, but I'll give you some examples of people in our brotherhood, the technique that they've used to study the Bible study in the home. Today, for the next few minutes, I want to study with you on some general things to kind of devote your mind and draw you closer to the New Testament scriptures on some of these thoughts. We want to study some general principles about Bible study in the home. You know, I have a list here of religion in the home, and I'm not going to mention perhaps all of these, but if you want a copy of these, I'll be happy to supply you with one. On this particular page, we're going to study the general principle of religion in the home and to show you how it was done and that it was done in previous years. Then we're going to study briefly about devout fathers in the Bible. Key men of the Bible who were fathers and their relationship perhaps with their sons or daughters. And then we'll study about devout mothers in the Bible and then parental prayers. As you think about the general references of religion in the home, think about Joshua as he established religion in his home. You remember Joshua 24 and 15? Is it, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, but if me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Think about Job, how he sanctified his children in chapter 1 and verse 5 of the book of Job. Think about the healed demon. He was told, you go home and you tell people about God, Luke 8 and verse 39. How about Mary? You remember she sat at the feet of Jesus in her home? According to the book of Luke, chapter 10, and verse 39. How about Andrew? You remember Andrew led his brother, Peter, to Jesus Christ, John 1, and verse 41. Now these, among many others, could really be going to really establish the fact that religion is in the home. And if you don't have religion in your home, I fear for the eternal destiny of you and the children. The whole family is a unit if we do not have this. We have others, but we'll pass on to the next. Devout fathers in the Bible. Who are great men of the Bible that you'd go to think about being a devout father? A wonderful spiritual leader. Obviously, you'd go to men like Abraham, who exerts a tremendous spiritual influence upon his family in Genesis 18 and verse 19. Isaac, who blessed his son, Genesis 27 and verse 26 and also verse 27. You go to people like Cornelius, who is a head of a religious household in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and there are others, devout fathers in the Bible. It is interesting, and of course, time would never allow in a 45-minute session like we have here to really go into each of these and point out every detail. But I wanted to spur you on by thinking about it, recalling the way of remembrance these things, because we want to be this kind of a father to our children. Mothers in the home, think about Sarah, who is the mother of Isaac, Genesis 21 and verse 6. Think about Hannah, the mother of Samuel, and the Word of God, 1 Samuel 1 and 22. Think about Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, Luke 1 and 41. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, Luke 1, verse 46. Obviously, think about Eunice or Eunice, 2 Timothy 1, 5, the mother of Timothy. Think about these women. How, no doubt, how tremendously influential they were over their children. It would be so wonderful to have seen and to listen to the words of great truths that they shared. Parents, you know, pray for your children, too. Parental prayers in the Bible is nothing uncommon. Abraham's prayer for Ishmael in Genesis 17, verse 18. Job prayed for his children. David prayed for his children and Solomon. David for the life of his child, and the list goes on. Don't we understand? You know, religion begins at home, obviously. And if we today would devote the time and attention necessary to do this, we can make tremendous, stronger congregations. We can have a much closer, united family because we have the same goal, the same purpose in mind, and that is worshiping and serving the true and living God. But a survey of this nature over the New Testament would not be complete without talking about examples of good children. I purposely, for time's sake, did not list the example of bad parents and bad mothers and bad children, but I wanted to lay out the positive for your consideration. Examples of good children. How about Isaac in Genesis 22 and verse 7? The Bible said that Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied, "the fire and the wood are here." Isaac said, "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" This young man, he trusted his parents to the absolute utmost. We must hasten on. Samuel, 1 Samuel 2 and 26. young man? How about John the Baptist in Luke 1 and verse 80? Obviously the born Jesus, and then Timothy and others. My dear friends, today what we want to do for the last 20 minutes or so of our lesson, we want to discuss as many practical applications as we possibly can to help encourage Bible study in the home. I have brought a certain amount of books with me that I'm just going to show you in passing, and I'll lay them on the communion table here for your consideration. These are booklets that probably you've seen before and you may have in your home, but have sat back and wondered, what could I use to study the Bible with my children? I know today this happens so many times and so frequently. But as we consider several things, I want us to consider what can we do. The first and foremost thing that I know of that we really need to do in our home, we need to read the Bible with our children regularly, consistently read the Bible. Teach your children what you believe, why you believe it according to the Bible. Be one who's willing to really open up a careful study of the book. You know, this American Bible Society Bible, you know, just costs $6, big print, easy for the children to read. You know, subheadings all throughout Matthew and Revelation. An excellent book that we grew up with, this type of book. You know, a Bible like this is so much easier and more enjoyable to read for your children's sake rather than some, you know, fine print Bible that's hard to read for you, much less for your children who are just now learning to read to begin with. There's one thing that we are using in our home that's working out very well. Many of you have seen this book, Mrs. Lee's Stories About Jesus. You know, right now, Levi goes through, my oldest boy, we have him going through one story a day. This particular book is very simple, written on an elementary level, that little children can understand while they're reading, covering 3 or 4 pages, but having 10 to 20 questions at the end of each chapter or each story. We have them read this story every day and answer all those questions on a daily basis, 3, 4 at times, 5 days a week. It's very important to do that. And, of course, a follow-up to that would be this one here, Mrs. Lee's story from the book of Genesis. It covers the whole book of Genesis. Real good information. When you get through that, I plan to put them in the second book. It's important today that we introduce them to this way of reading, too. Obviously, they need to get it from the Bible. But many times, you know as well as I do, sometimes people get a little bored of reading the Bible because of the phraseology, the way it's mentioned. Where sometimes broken down at elementary level, it can be. But I really strongly encourage, as you study the Bible in your home with your children, be sure that you bring in book, chapter, verse, and show them in the Bible. And reinforce important details that if it's not found in the Bible, you don't accept it. Because the Bible is God's Word. You know, today, I don't know how many times I've had people talk about what can we do to really show forth, you know, put the picture before our children's eyes. There's one set of books that I was somewhat reluctant to even introduce, but I'm going to, but I want to give a certain amount of caution about these books. And this is a set of books you've seen at dentist offices and doctor's offices all across the land. I remember when I was a little kid, I would have given my right arm for one of these books. Because I thought that was so neat. That's the only good thing about going to a dentist or a doctor, you got to look at this book. You know, I located a source whereby these books were purchased. But I want to understand, this book is probably, this is a set of 10 books. The first 7 covering the Old Testament, 8, 9, and 10 covering the New Testament, if I remember the breakdown right. Excellent set, very expensive. But this set of books, one heavy word of caution, from what I've read thus far, they do not preach a tremendous amount of doctrine, but they are put out by Seventh-day Adventists. They will encourage Sabbath day observances today. That's the main thing that I would, of course, obviously knock about this particular set of books. They have the adult set of books that teaches it from beginning to end, and they're not necessarily too valuable in my own estimation. But this set of books is excellent. You know the beautiful pictures, the colors of the pictures, and everything really draws it out for the children. We enjoy reading these storybooks, of course, to our children. And then if we ride down the road talking, going to meetings at different places, I enjoy bringing it back up to the children and talking about things, letting them know about how these things are really working. What about Abraham? What about Noah? What about these great men of the Bible or women of the Bible, as the case might be? You can make a certain amount of fun for your children and study the Bible. I'm not only suggesting sit around the kitchen table, open up the Bible, and read and study. Obviously, that's necessary. But we need to really add some certain amount of life and activity to it and really make it enjoyable for the children. You know, there's so many times people say, oh, I wish I had good literature to read. Real good literature. Well, you know, our brotherhood is great. In the last number of years, we've put out tremendous literature. You know, for several years now, the preacher study notes, this particular one is 87 volume. Now, listen, you do not get much better literature than from the preachers of the gospel who have addressed assemblies like we have here today, who have given detailed hours and hours and hours of study. And then you have the outline of the sermon written out pretty much in detail many times in these booklets. Why not study these sermons as a family group? You don't have to go over it one night. It can be two or three nights. It can be a week on one sermon. It's all right. You're not in a marathon trying to get through the quickest of anybody else. There's not a punching in and punching out of the clock. It's a matter of getting the job done. Why can't you do that? You know, there are all kind of books, obviously, back here. I noticed as I come in this morning from Dallas, you know, several things are available. You know, when I was in Bunner's Ridge for a meeting just a few weeks ago, you know, Alan introduced me to a set of books that I had not used. You know, the Granville Tyler series, three volumes. Now, this is what we're going to work as a family now, my family at home. We're going to work on this as three set of volumes to go through the New Testament. Now, listen, it's very easy to go through a set of books like this, three volumes. If you want to get a little bit more detail, you got content on about eight or nine volumes, about nine different volumes here to go through. A detailed study. You know, these are used in home studies too. But why cannot you use some of these studies as your family study the Bible? I know today what we're wanting. We're wanting many times an easy way. Obviously, what we probably would like, many people, is somebody else take my children and teach them the Bible. But would you be satisfied with that? You know how God ordained the assembly to be, gathering together men, women, and children to one assembly? That if we all can be, we can all learn, we can all be instructed from the Word of God. But we've got homework to do, folks, and we must do it. And when the brethren assigned to me this particular one, practical advice, just down to earth, practical things to study the Bible in the home, then I began to see what we could really do. What can we do to modify certain techniques of home study with non-converts and teach our children? Is there anything any more important than teaching the children the Bible? You know, Irving Barnes in the television program out of Springfield is putting out an excellent set of books, nearly on a monthly basis, every 6 or 8 weeks, a new booklet. And if you don't have these, he's making them available, you know, at a very, very reasonable cost. You have these books available on different subjects, speaking in tongues, the Church of Christ marks the distinction, the rapture, with Jesus returning this generation. The list goes on. Why not take just one of these books and study it as a family group? You know, the information is there. Reading and studying the Bible is there. You know what happens, don't you? Many times we don't think about it. We don't think of what we can do. A set of books that I love is this one right here, the Old Path Pulpit 1 and Old Path Pulpit number 2. Great men of the gospel who have preached the gospel for many years. Some of this book have been gone for many, many years by means of death. And of course, some of this book have since it's printed a number of years ago. You know, you could go through a sermon here just every so often, however necessary, 3 or 4 days, 5 days, 1 week, whatever you need to do. Just establish a pattern for your family. What's good for you? There's no longer no one can say, this is no good literature out there. I just can't find a thing that I can really adapt to myself. If you want it, you can adapt yourself to it. We've got too much of a wide variation here. And obviously, what I enjoy, and as my family, and as we study different things along the way, I enjoy the religious, you know, journals. You know, of course, the OPA has been put out for many, many years, and it's a tremendous help and asset to the brotherhood. You know, great articles. And I love the recent issues on the question and answers, you know, by Ronnie, and the moral issues by Brother Elmore, and different ones, great. And then, of course, you have the Christian Expositor, another excellent journal. Get tremendous amount of knowledge. I know parents at times say, I just don't know how to research things like, you know, elders or maybe deacons or preachers and congregational teachers. Well, if you don't, and if you don't intend to learn, why not take benefit of the sources of others who have and study these things with your children? Study the Bible as a family unit. Well, one way that many have used before, and it's good, it's fine,
is Bible correspondence choices for your family. You can use that very simply in your own home. You can even get the answer keys to these at bookstores where you can find the answers already. Study together and go through that process. You know, this is really what it's about today. And there are many, many other things you can go through. This should suffice to show us today the material is there and available. But nothing replaces an active study and reading of the Bible. You know, one thing that I encourage is a daily reading of the Scriptures. Now, of course, I know at times people say, well, things break through. When they break through, don't let it, again, that be the rule, but the exception. You know how to read the New Testament through, don't you? In several ways, on a regular, systematic manner. You know, you can read the Old and New Testament through as a family. If you read only 4 chapters a day, you can read the Old and New Testament through it less than a year. It's about 4 chapters a day. It's a shame that you can't find time to sit down with family and read 4 chapters. You know, today you can read 3 chapters a day. If 4 is too taxing, only read 3 a day. And on the Lord's Day, Sunday, read 5. You can still read the Old and New Testament through for less than a year. The study that I like for myself, and I've encouraged others to get on it. I don't do it every month, but I enjoy it. It's a monthly New Testament reading program where you read one book of the New Testament every day. And I know people say, and listen, that's going way overboard. But did you know only 10 of the 27 books of the New Testament has 10 chapters or more? Only 10? That means it's only 10 days of maybe difficult reading. And a lot of those are not. And then the other 17 books have either 9 chapters or less. And you can obviously read that in a day, easy. And then, the more you read the Bible, you know what it's going to do? The more knowledge you're going to have. The more knowledge you're going to have, you're going to be able to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. The more knowledge you have in reading God's Word, you're going to know when something's taught from the pulpit, if it's right, if it's wrong. You're going to know how to teach your children the wonderful things about going to heaven and the horrors of going to hell. You're going to know because you've read it in your Bible. Daily Bible reading. My Christian friends, it's nothing. These books are simply helps. Nothing will replace the reading of God's Word as a family group. Sit down and read the study. I remember years ago in the Grange, as we had our nightly Bible devotion, or you know, time of reading, generally, we'd read 2 or 3 chapters and divide up, depending on what quality of reading level we was on throughout the period of time. And we'd divide it up according to how many we were going to be reading that particular night. And maybe each of us read 10 or 20 verses each. But covered. And then Dad would discuss it with us, ask if we have any questions, and go on that way. We can do that. Yes, it can take devotion, determination. You can have to want to do it before you can ever do it. You have learned the impact of it. And if you say, well, I really just don't know much about the Bible myself, and I just don't know how I can teach it to my kids. If you don't know it, learn it. Because it's worth it to teach your children. You know, today, as we consider several things, and my time is about 5 more minutes, and it's all I have to study with you on this subject today. But you know, there's so many wonderful things that I enjoy studying the Bible with. I enjoy, you know, the Acts of Conversion, the case of conversion, the book of Acts. Study that with your children. Oh, go over that over and over and over again. Also, study the case of non-conversion. Study about that and why that was wrong and why these other people chose the right way. You know, by so doing, you can instill in people's mind, your children's mind, and people that you're studying with, the importance of doing what God said to do. I like it when people in the home study and talk about the Bible. They really devote themselves to a really careful study. There are 2 or 3 things that I want to conclude with today that we were raised with, you know, pretty strong. And I thought they were really neat then, and I find them even more special now because I can teach it to my 2 boys. And that is one thing that Dad used to do, you know, teach us like the 12 apostles. You know, I'm not asking a survey today, and I'm not asking you to write it down, but I wonder how many of us named the 12 apostles, the original 12 apostles. You know, it's kind of hard at first. People begin to pull all the names out of the hat and get them all lined up. But, you know, I don't know where my father learned it, but I remember he taught it to us this way. He said, well, you know, there are 5 J's. It's James, Judas, and John. There's 2 P's, Peter and Philip. 3 that rhyme, Andrew, Matthew, and Bartholomew. And then S and T, Simon and Thomas. We had it learned in one night. And that's been 20 years ago. And I don't know if I've ever forgotten it since then. You know, today, you can learn other things. I remember riding down the road many, many times going to church meetings with my father. And he'd say, Alan, who's the wisest man that ever lived? Solomon, who's the strongest man that ever lived? Well, Samson. Or right down there, who's the oldest man that ever lived? Instilling these Bible figures into your head. And then when you read their name in the Bible, it really means something to you. And you can again continue to go back to reestablish it. Books in the Bible, and the list goes on. My dear friends, listen. It all comes down to this right here. We do what's important to us to do. Set your priorities. Because in a split moment, in one day, and I have no idea what that time will be for you nor myself, but in one day, everything will be all over. We can go right into eternity. And we can take somebody with us. It could be the soul of a neighbor. It could be the soul of a child. It could be the soul of a spouse. It could be ourselves at that point, whether saved or lost. But if we go into eternity, it's not going to be important, all these other material things of life. That's not going to be what's important to us. What's going to be really important is, have I read and studied God's Word and have I obeyed God's Word? A lot of your point of salvation, the end result, very well may be, obviously it's the worship of God in the church and the obedience of God's Word, but a lot of very important details go back. What's my home life like? Did I read and did I study the Bible? If your children are saved, it's going to be no doubt because